Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
The question today is, are we willing to make the necessary sacrifices in order that the next generation will continue to enjoy the blessings of this ministry? I don't know when the Lord will come back. During especially this past 6 months, I find myself thinking a little bit more like the Apostle John when he said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." With all that we are experiencing as a country and in the world as a whole, I yearn for the Lord's coming. I don't know how many more years the Lord will give us here as a ministry, but I do know this, that if we are going to enjoy the blessings of today in the decades to come, then we have to be willing to make sacrifices in order for that to happen. The past generation made that sacrifice. That's why we are enjoying what we are enjoying today, what we would call the blessings of this ministry. If the generation to come is going to enjoy those same blessings or maybe even some additional blessings, it's going to become the responsibility of this generation to make the sacrifice for it. We are looking at Philippians chapter 2. You may say, now what does all this have to do with Philippians chapter 2? Well, you're going to find out. When we were looking at verses 1 through 4, we pointed out that we must have an attitude of unity. Unity is so very important here at Canton Baptist Temple. It's so easy to get division by one or two people that cause division, and many times that division, if not dealt with properly, can end up causing a split in a church. Many churches have split all across America. It's really a poor testimony to the community that they're trying to reach. And so we must have unity. Unity is important. And I say that no entity, no organization, and especially no church will survive very long without unity. We got to have unity. In order for unity to become a reality in our church, we have to quit constantly thinking about ourselves, and we've got to begin thinking about the needs of others. Today, we shift from the attitude of unity to the attitude of sacrifice. Now, both of them are connected together, as we will see. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse 5. Let this mind be in you. What mind is he talking about? Well, we studied about it last week. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't be just concerned about what you want, but be concerned about the needs of others. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We'll look at this more in depth in a moment, but Christ certainly was thinking about the needs of others. As a matter of fact, he was thinking about your need and my need when he hung up on that old rugged cross. Amen? He thought about us. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the need that we had in our lives for salvation, the forgiveness of sin. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. There's that mind that we are to have. We are to have the mind of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 5 tells us that we are to have the mind or the attitude of Christ. It makes logical sense that if we are going to call ourselves Christians, if we are going to call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, that we would have the same mind, the same attitude that Christ would have. if we're going to say that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of our lives, then our mind and our thinking, our attitude should reflect the mind, the thinking, and the attitude of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." And Jesus said, "I came," what? "Not to be served, but to serve." He came as a servant. And so we are not above our master. Our Lord and our master is Jesus Christ. And if he came as a servant and ministered, then so should we, right? We should be thinking about others instead of always thinking about ourselves. Now, the verses that I have just read in our text here, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8, I want you to know were written again by the Apostle Paul, and they were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Philippi. And so to be textually accurate, you have to first interpret these verses in the context of the local church. And so here we find a clear mandate that the members of a local church are to have the attitude of Christ. He is writing to the church at Philippi historically, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can say that he is writing these verses to you and me here in the year 2020 at Canton Baptist Temple. And he is saying to us, have the mind of Christ. We need to have the mind, the thinking, the attitude of Christ. Then Paul goes on in verses 6, 7, and 8, and he tells us that the attitude that Christ has was an attitude of sacrifice. Now notice that Christ didn't just talk about sacrifice. There's a lot of people that talk about making a sacrifice. And Christ didn't even just teach about sacrifice, but rather he demonstrated sacrifice by going to the cross and dying for our sins. In other words, Christ's attitude of sacrifice resulted in his action of sacrifice. Here's a point that we must not forget. How we think always affects how we live. If we don't think like a servant, if we don't think about the needs of others, then we will not live that way. You see, when we think about others, then what? That will come out in our lives and the actions and our behavior and how we respond to other people. So if we think like Christ, and that is to have the mind of Christ, that is to have the attitude of sacrifice, then we will be willing to make that sacrifice in order to minister to the needs of others. Now, make a mental note here. When we sacrifice, we are thinking and acting like Jesus. We can't talk about being like Jesus and not talk about this matter of sacrifice. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Oh, I want to be like Jesus, but I don't want to make any sacrifices." Well, if you don't want to make any sacrifice, then let me just tell you something. You won't be like Jesus. Because Jesus made the greatest sacrifice that anyone could make for you and for me. Right? We talk about that WWJD. You remember that? All those rubber bracelets that were popular for a go. I haven't seen as many of them lately. I was never against them, but a lot of those bracelets went around. They had WWJD on there. You say, what does that stand for? It stands for what would Jesus do, right? What would Jesus do? Well, can I tell you what Jesus would do? He would sacrifice. He would sacrifice. So if we say we want to be like Jesus, then we have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to have the mind of Christ, which was the mind of a servant. And a servant is all about what? Meeting the needs of others. It's time for the world, and can I bring it down a little bit closer to home? It is time for our community to see a church that thinks and acts like Jesus. When those who live in our community hear the name Canton Baptist Temple, they should immediately think, now there's a church that thinks and acts like Jesus. That's the way they ought to think of Canton Baptist Temple as people. Oh, those members there, those people there, they are like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want our church to be known as a selfish church. I want it to be known as a sacrificial church, right? Who wants to be a part of a selfish church? A selfish church is where all they do is think about themselves. They don't think about the needs of others. They don't think about the needs of the visitors who come through the doors. And all they're doing is focusing on themselves. A sacrificial church, though, is a church like Jesus. The cross. Think with me about the cross. We have a cross back here in the baptistry. I'm glad that we have that cross there. It reminds us every week of the great sacrifice that Jesus made. The cross stands as the single greatest demonstration of sacrifice in all of human history. Right? There is not another sacrifice like the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Any sacrifice that we make or that we see others make really pales in comparison to the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and me. Jesus was willing to give his life as a sacrifice so that we might have the forgiveness of sin, so that we might have the gift of eternal life. Think about that. He made the greatest sacrifice in all of human history so that you and I could be saved. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we can now have a personal relationship with God. Because of faith in what Christ accomplished on the cross, we can now know without a doubt that when we die, we will spend eternity in heaven. I don't have a I hope so salvation. I have a I know so salvation. Big difference. I talk with people and they say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven, or I hope that I'm saved. We can know for sure, based upon the authority of Scripture, that we have been saved, our sins have been forgiven, we have received the gift of eternal life, and we will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven one day. We have a I know so salvation. If I had 1,000 lives to live for Jesus, it wouldn't be enough to repay him for the sacrifice that he made for me. His sacrifice was big. The sacrifice that I make is really small compared to what he did for me. Next time you make a sacrifice for Jesus, be reminded it pales in comparison to what he did for you. But think about it. He didn't just save you. He continues to bless you. Right? He didn't just stop there. He saved you, transformed your life. He continues to pour out blessings upon you as an individual, as a family, blessings as a church. And then we have to look forward to the best is yet to come, right? No matter how bad it gets in our country and in our culture, and there's a lot of things today. Boy, I just shake my head and go, our nation is in a mess. But I'm reminded of the fact that the best is yet to come for the believer. And so we've got a great God who sacrificed his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary so that you and I might be saved. When we sacrifice, we are putting the needs of others before our own needs. How many of you are parents? You're a dad or a mom. If you're a parent, you understand the concept of sacrifice. The sacrifice that you have to make for your child in order for them what? To have a future. In order for them to enjoy the blessings that you want to bestow upon your children. We're putting what? Their needs ahead of our needs. And we're often making sacrifices that they will never truly understand until they become what? Parents, right? They just take it all for granted, and they just sort of don't even really think about the sacrifice that we make as parents for our children. But one day when they have children, they'll realize what? The past generation, just like I'm talking about for the church. In the past generation made a sacrifice to get me where I am here today. And now I've got to make that sacrifice for my children and for the next generation. Isn't that what Christ did for us on the cross? He did not think about his needs, but he thought about your needs and my needs. Humanly speaking, Jesus did not look forward to the suffering of the cross. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed those words, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." No matter how hard we try, we'll never fully comprehend the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual suffering that Christ went through as he was crucified for us. You and I, as much as we try to comprehend it and think about it, I think about Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, and it gave us a glimpse of the suffering that Jesus went through for us. But even that movie did not do justice to what transpired that day on Mount Calvary. And even though we try to comprehend it, we try to understand what he did for us, and we try to think of the suffering, the sacrifice that he made for us, it's just hard for our minds to grasp. For a sacrifice to truly be a sacrifice, it has to cost something. Right? It's not really a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you something. Sacrifice involves emptying ourselves so that the needs of others might be met. So let me get practical here for a few minutes. I want to talk about the importance of us, of you as a member of this church, embracing an attitude of sacrifice. All right? There are many different areas that I could talk about that we need to exemplify sacrifice, and we need to be willing to think about the needs of others. But I want to give you two thoughts here this morning concerning sacrifice. Number one, we can sacrificially give of our finances to support the ministry of our local church. Every time I walk around this massive church complex, I'm reminded that we have all this because the past generation gave sacrificially. Think about that. The past generation made it possible to move from 15th Street to right here where we are today in this location on Whipple Avenue. Somebody gave so that we can enjoy this beautiful worship center that we have here, this auditorium that we come and gather in and week out. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we just walk in here and take it for granted, right? As a matter of fact, we get ticked if somebody's in our pew, right? Say, "What are you doing here? This is my seat." It's not really your seat, right? It's anybody's seat. But think about it. We come walking in here, we pull up on the parking lot, walk through the doors and see all the carpet and come in here, expect the heat and air to be on and everything, lighting, sound, everything to be perfect and all. And we said, think about it. The past generation made a tremendous sacrifice so that we can enjoy what we are enjoying today. Right? It's the, what, old-timers. The old timers, to some degree, every Sunday we're enjoying the blessings and the benefits of the sacrificial giving of the old timers. But if you haven't noticed, folks, the old timers are slowly passing away. We have death announcements literally every Sunday, it seems like. I know it's probably not every Sunday, but it certainly feels that way. I know that since I have been here, I came in January of 1999 and some 21 years now pastoring here at the Canton Baptist Temple, and we have seen during that time 1,200 members pass away. As I think about the old timers and as they are passing off the scene, I often ask myself this question: who is going to pick up the slack? Who's going to pick up the slack? I feel like every time, Jake, a good idea maybe, not really I guess, but maybe a good idea at all of the funeral services that we do, maybe we ought to take a pair of shoes and set them up on the pulpit and say, "All right, now who's going to fill these shoes?" You know, the empty shoes. People are passing on. They've done their part. They've been faithful. They've been committed. They've stuck with the stuff here. And now, who's going to fill those shoes? Will the next generation enjoy the same blessings that we are enjoying today? Well, it all depends on whether this generation will embrace the attitude of sacrifice. That generation made a sacrifice so we can enjoy what we are enjoying today. Are we willing to make the sacrifice so that the next generation can enjoy the same blessings, maybe even more blessings in the days ahead? Here's an interesting stat, a scary stat, but here it is. Only 3-5% of American Christians tithe to their church on a regular basis. I read that and I say to myself, how does the church even exist? Only 3-5%. I think maybe that stat would be low for us here. I think we have a higher ratio, a higher percentage, and I thank God for that. But a selfish church member is only interested in what he can get out of the church. That would probably be the 97-95% of the people that come to church. It's all about them. What can I get out of the church? But a church member with an attitude of sacrifice will come to church looking for ways to give. I'm going to show you something in Ephesians. Go back one book. You're in Philippians 2. Go back to Ephesians 5, and I want you to notice the last half of verse 25. And I want you to follow my logic here just for a moment, all right? Ephesians 5, verse 25. Last half. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Will you read that with me, please? Can we lift our voices and read it together? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. One more time. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. To love Christ, to love Jesus, is to love what Jesus loves. You think about that. If we are going to love Jesus, then we ought to love what Jesus loves. Makes sense, right? So to love Christ is to love what Christ loves. And this verse, Ephesians 5, verse 25, tells me that Christ loves the church. Correct? You know where I'm going with this logic here that I'm using. So to love Christ ought to mean that we love the church. And notice also in the verse, show the verse up on the screen one more time, because notice that to love the church is to what? Give to the church, right? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's not talk about how much we love Jesus and how much we love our church if we're not willing to sacrificially give to Jesus and give to our church here. That's putting it bluntly, but that's the truth. Let's don't sing about how much we love Jesus and talk to others about how much we love Jesus and, oh, how we love our church, the Canton Baptist Temple, and then you don't tithe. You say, well, I liked your message up to this point, preacher. Are you tithing? Are you tithing? You say, well, I want to be like Jesus, and I love Jesus, and I love our church, but I'm not willing to give my tithe. Well, then you really don't love Jesus, and you really don't love our church the way you ought to. You just say that. Words are cheap, right? A sacrifice has to what? Cost you something. Sacrificially giving, tithing. I've said this before. Randy Alcorn, who's written the book entitled The Treasure Principle and many, many other books that he has written, he says that tithing is giving on training wheels. You say, I'm a tither. You're still riding a bicycle with training wheels. Hate to bust your bubble, but that's what tithing is. It's where we start. It's where giving starts. You really shouldn't be giving to anything else until you first start tithing. Tithing is where it all begins. So as a church member, you ought to tithe. We can't expect non-church members to tithe, right? They're not even a part of our church. But as a member of Canton Baptist Temple, we ought to be concerned about meeting the needs of this ministry, and we especially ought to be concerned about the next generation. We want to pass along the blessings that we receive from the past generation, and we want to sacrifice and put with that and hand that on to the next generation. That's my desire. One day, I don't know when, one day I will retire. I don't know when that will be, okay? But one day when I retire, I want to pass on this ministry better than the way that I found it. I want to be able to say, I have done my part. I have sacrificed. I have put myself into this ministry, and now I hand that baton off to the next generation. That's going to come for all of us at some point. We got to be thinking about that. Are we tithing? Are we giving to missions to support our missionaries? I look out into our audience today. We have the Burkholders back here. We've got the Andersons down here. We've got the Staleys here. Our missionaries need us to be faithful in making that sacrificial missions commitment every time we give to support our missionaries to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Number two, we can sacrificially give of our time to serve in the ministry of our local church. You have heard me say before, and I want to say it again, our goal here at Canton Baptist Temple is not to have a few people doing everything, but everybody doing something. Does that make sense? But like many churches, a lot of times it's a few people doing a lot instead of everybody doing something for the cause of Christ. When a ministry this size continues to develop ministries and programs, and then we have a need for more people to serve. Always something to do here at our church. And think about, we're talking about tithing. Tithing is what? 10% of our income. Have you thought about tithing from your time? We have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which translates to 168 hours in a week. Do you realize that if you tithe from your 168 hours weekly, you would give 16.8 hours to the Lord through your local church? You say, wow, that's a lot of time. It is. But again, we shouldn't have to beg for volunteers. Rather, there ought to be a line of people saying, hey, what can I do? How can I get involved? How can I be a blessing to someone else? And yet, let's be honest, it's hard to get church members to be in church on Sunday morning on a weekly basis, much less trying to get them plugged in and serving in the church. Will you commit yourself today to be faithful to the church that God has allowed you to be a part of?
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.